Well, I'm going to take Fred's advice and fall in. And trust that the water is all right. I watched my brother Brian ahead of me, and he seemed to survive, so it couldn't have been too icy up here. I want to look at a short passage in Jeremiah chapter 6. Jeremiah chapter 6. Verse 16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way, and walk therein? And ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Will not walk therein. You know, God was speaking to his people, speaking to Israel. He loved them, and he desired the very best for them. But they had taken a course that was contrary to his will. They had taken a course that was contrary to his word. And they had begun to practice things that God hated. And as a result of that, God was determined to bring judgment upon them. In fact, they had gone so far that God said he wouldn't reverse it. He was going to bring that judgment upon his people. But before he did that, he gave them this admonition. And it's the Lord that's speaking. It came directly from him, as it were, through the prophet, no doubt. But he said, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. It seems to me that there was going to be a pause in the way that they were traveling, in the course that they were on. They were going to stand for a moment and think about the way they were going. Did you ever think about the way you're going? I've given some thought to the way I'm going. And you know, as Christians, we need to pause and think about the direction of our travel. And we need to ask ourselves, are the things that we're doing, is the way we're living in happy harmony with our God? Are we in the current of his thoughts? Are we fulfilling his will in our lives? Or is there a need for a change in our ways? You remember Haggai, the Lord said to them three times over at least, consider your ways. And as Christians, we need to consider our ways. You know, it's very easy as Christians to kind of drift through life. And we really never fulfill the purposes that God had in his mind for us when he saved us. And consequently, because we don't do that, we run into all kinds of problems in life, difficulties in life, that we would not have otherwise faced. And we never get the satisfaction out of life that God intended for us as Christians, because, you know, there isn't anybody in this world that should be more satisfied than a Christian. There really isn't. I mean, we can live life to the fullest, far beyond what an unconverted person can live in this world, and have the greatest satisfaction doing the very simplest things for God in the current of God's thoughts. And God desires that that's what we'd have. I think about the Apostle Paul. You know, he got to the end of his life, and he'd say, I finished my course. He was a satisfied man. He not made his share of mistakes, likely, same as all of us. But he was satisfied that he had stayed in the current of God's thoughts to the end of his road. I wonder what course we're on today as believers. Is it a course that pleases God? The instructions of God were simply, first of all, to stand ye in the ways. Just pause a moment and think about the way we're traveling. Think about the things we're involved in. Think about whether or not we are in the mind of God. These people were not in the mind of God. They had done things that grieved God. They had done things that had incurred God's wrath against them. And as a result, God stepped into their lives and punished them. He still does that with Christians, you know, today. We're not immune to God's punishment in this old world. Sad as it may be, but God still does that. And we need to be cognizant of that fact. But he told them to stand in the way and then to see. To see. You know, we often look at things and we never see them. You say that's not really possible. Well, unhappily, it is. It's possible to look at things and not really see them. One of the things I did when I was still in secular employment was to investigate accidents. I investigated hundreds of them over the 10 years that I was in the safety department of the company. And you know, oftentimes you'd go to a motor vehicle accident particularly, and the driver would say, I never saw that other vehicle. I didn't see that person. They were right there in front of them, but they never saw them. It didn't register with them. I remember when I was learning to fly. And, you know, you had instruments on the instrument panel, a speedometer and a vertical climb indicator and an altimeter and so on. They were all in front of you. And it wasn't so bad when I was learning to fly by visual flight rules, but after a while I started to learn to fly, as they say, under the hood, where you couldn't see the instruments. Where, pardon me, all you saw was the instruments, you couldn't see the horizon. And I remember on one occasion the instructor said to me, are you not looking at those instruments? Oh yes, I said, I'm scanning them just the way you taught me to. Well, he said, you're not seeing the information they're giving you. You know, it's possible to look at something and not see it. And sometimes, you know, we kind of look broadly down the road of life and we don't really see what's ahead. It doesn't register with us. And there's a need to get the information that's being given to us by the things we're looking at. Sometimes there are indicators in our lives, you know, as Christians. And, well, they happen, and yeah, we see them. But we don't take the time to digest the information that they're giving us. We don't make the course correction in life that we should, that God wants us to make. Because, well, the information just didn't register. We might have kind of scanned it, passed our eyes over it, but it didn't register. You know, there's a necessity in our Christian lives to have a look at life and have a look at the things that are ahead in life. Have a look at the course we're traveling. If Israel had for a moment looked at the course they were traveling and had they looked at all the indicators that God was telling them about, they would have made a course correction in their little lives that would have spared the lives of many, many thousands of them. So the Lord is saying to them, now look and stand and see and ask for the old paths. Who were they? Well, they were the paths that were in keeping in happy harmony with the mind of God, in happy harmony with the Word of God, in happy harmony with the will of God. That was the old paths, the paths that God had set before his people in the past. And those paths were pleasing to God. And when they walked in those paths, God was able to bless them. He was able to pour out to them benefits that they could never receive in any other way except from Himself. They had departed from those paths, and instead of the benefits, they were receiving the judgments of God. Sad commentary on a people whom God so loved and who God had given His commandments to and His judgments to and His precepts to and had sent them many prophets, many messages had come from God. And yet here they are in this sad condition. These things are written aforetime for our learning. God has put them on the pages of Holy Scripture so that we won't go down the same way as they went. So that we won't run into His judgments the same way as they did. And so that God can benefit and bless us. And give us a life that is most fulfilling for Himself. He desires that for us. He loves us. And in every way, He loved these people just the same. But the course they had taken brought them into conflict with God. And finally into judgment. And so the Lord is saying now, ask for the old paths. Now who should we ask? Well, you know, if we're like most people, we'll run around and we'll ask others. But the wisest thing that you and I could do would be to get down on our knees and ask God. What would you like me to do in life? I remember when secular employment suddenly came to an end. And there were about 2,200 of us went out the door at the same time of the business. And I had it in my mind that I would set up a business, and I was qualified to do it, had the credentials to do it. I thought, that's what I'll do. But you know, when I got down on my knees and I said to the Lord, Lord, what do you want me to do with the rest of my life? He just very simply said, I want it. So I'm doing what I'm doing today. I got rid of all those books and references and so on. Because I don't need them. I just need this book. This is the reference book that I need for what I'm doing today. But you know, we need to ask the Lord for the way that we should travel. Very often we look to others to get some direction in life, and we never turn to the Lord for that direction. And that's the reason so many Christians are unhappy. I have seen so many Christians in assembly fellowship, and they get disgruntled and they leave and they go somewhere else. And you know, when you talk to them and say, well, why did you leave? Well, nobody ever gave me anything to do. And I've asked some of them, did you ever get down on your knees and ask the captain of your salvation what he wanted you to do? The apostle Paul, when he got saved, he saw of Tarsus on the road to Damascus. He said to the Lord, Lord, what do you want me to do? He said to the Lord, Lord, what would you have me to do? And many Christians never find out in life what the Lord wants them to do. And they live an unhappy, unsatisfied life because they are not doing what God wants them to do. And the reason they're not doing it is they have never asked the Lord, Lord, what would you have me to do? See? So the person we need to ask is the Lord Himself. I believe that's what God wanted them to do, to ask of Him for those old ways that were pleasing to Him. And go in them. And then He said, where is the good way? Ask for those old paths, where is the good way? And walk therein. Go along in those paths that are pleasing to God, that God has set out for a long time. You know, Brother Fred just touched on it briefly, and in the second chapter of Acts. But there you have the course that I believe God wants every Christian to follow. Salvation, baptism, continuance in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayers. That's like the charter for every Christian in Acts chapter 2. And he wants us to follow it to the end of our Christian life, either to the time of our death or till the Lord comes and takes us home. Now that's the old way. It was set out in the very beginning. That's amazing, the number of Christians that are departing from it or have never found their way into it yet. Maybe they've gone one or two steps but haven't gone the rest. God wants us to find those old paths that he set out in his word and to walk in them. Now what's the outcome of that? You shall find rest unto your souls. Rest unto your souls. Don't those words sound very much like Matthew's gospel? Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart. See? Rest. That's what God said they would find. They would find rest. Now, I don't think that's that's meaning that we're suddenly going to have a nice bed or a comfortable chair and we're going to just sit back and enjoy life. Because I want to tell you that the Christian life is full of activity. Full of activity. The hymn writer had it right when he wrote, "My rest is in heaven. My rest is not here." Because there's lots of things for us to do as believers here. But we'll find rest for our souls. We don't need a bed for our bodies. But you know, we'll have rest for our souls. Why? Because God is at rest with our lives. And we'll have rest with God. Because we're in the current of his thoughts. We're doing the things that he wants us to do. And we're in the course in life that he wants us to travel. Those are most important things to see. And so that's what God is encouraging them to do. He's speaking to them here and encouraging them to do that. You'll find rest for your souls. And what a rest that is. But notice the response. But is a word that joins two opposites. But they said, "We will not walk therein." You know, there's a lot of Christians today, when you bring the Word of God before them, and you can point out very clearly, just like Acts chapter 2, that this is the course that God wants us to travel. And they say, "But that's not the course I'm going down." They refuse to go. You know, they wanted salvation. I believe many of them are saved. I talked to them about salvation, clear as crystal, on how they got saved and when they got saved and what they saw, what God showed them. Their souls are now saved. They're not going to be in hell. But as far as carrying out the rest of the Word of God, they'd argue and fight with you over those things. They don't want to go. And that's exactly what these dear people did. And you know what it brought them into? It brought them into God's judgment. You and I don't need to face that. We have the historical record of others who went that way. And when you read it, it makes for the saddest reading. If it doesn't bring tears to your eyes, you really haven't appreciated what God did in that nation when he allowed the armies of the north to come down and invade Israel. And the tremendous destruction and the pain and the grief that those people suffered as a result of walking in the wrong way. Taking a course that wasn't God's mind. You know, they were living covetous lives. They were living immoral lives. They had gone back into spiritual idolatry. And you know, all of those things are becoming true of Christians today. They're becoming true of Christians today. That's the course that many of them are taking. Yes, they're on their way to heaven. Yes, they truly got saved. But you know, they're living immoral lives. They're living lives that are covetous and lives that are full of strife, and they're causing strife, and they're enduring strife instead of following the course that God wants them to go. That would bring rest to their souls, satisfaction to God, and rest to their own souls. So may God help us to do as God has told us.